You're listening to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate. Our phone number 564-1290, or you can reach Mark Schneidman, your local Coldwell Banker Realtor, after the program at 898-4242 and at RadioRealEstate.com. Welcome back. If you just tuned in, you're about a half hour late. We start the program at 6 minutes after the hour. Talking with Ron Wolf, we're going to touch a little bit on trends right now, rental market soft or not, and also some comment on interest rates for purchasing, not for renting. A quick story, though, a hypothetical question. If a seller and a buyer in escrow, full price, as is, everyone's happy, but a hole, something unusual is discovered in the floor, under the fridge, and the buyer asks the seller to repair it, costs $1,000. And the seller says, well, okay. And then later, the seller finds out that the buyer's parents had offered to pay for it to fix the hole in the event that the seller declined to fix the hole. Does the seller have the right to feel cheated? This has nothing to do with the Navy League and the City Council. All right, just a hypothetical question. If you don't like the analogy, I know it's not a great analogy. If you were opposed to them waiving the fee, then you probably don't like my analogy. We'll get...
I'll bet the City Council could answer that question for you.
We'll get R.P. Richards. He was out at the Reagan Saturday night, and I was up at Laddie Handelman's house looking down on him. We shot a cannon off at 9 o'clock. Glad they didn't fire back. Set a birthday party for a 103-year-old. Okay, so let's try to cover two things in this segment, and then we'll let Ron Wolf go, and we'll come back for the fourth quarter and the weekly multiple listing update. Two things, trends, cycles, rental market soft. A while ago, everyone was buying single-family homes out of the stock market into homes, becoming landlords. Tenants were vacating because they were buying homes either here or in Ventura. That happened. Where are we now? What's the cycle?
Lots of dynamics in that. There's an economic cycle that ties to the interest rates and what you've just described. We also have a local cycle relative to the student community. And we find, a number of years ago, we found that when the students moved out, the demand from non-students to move into those units was pretty high, and we kept our occupancy levels up. And then when September came along, it was even more of a challenge for students to find housing. That changed somewhat after 9/11, but now we're swinging back to that original situation. You can definitely feel the impact of the students coming back. There's a scramble for housing. Single-family homes are red hot. An interesting sidelight to this is that, one-bedrooms are very hot. Single-family homes, though, was the sidelight. We've dealt with a number of people who are here to assist with the construction at Cottage Hospital.
Oh.
And just as an aside, a wonderful group in terms of the people that we've met. We've dealt with about a dozen of them. Very professional, very clean-cut, wonderful to work with. So they're filling an interesting void in our market. But as students come back, we expect things are going to tighten up a little bit more, particularly in the one-bedroom type units.
Why is the one-bedroom the hot market? And how does it go from there to two bedrooms and then into a three-bedroom home?
I think it ties a lot to people's desire to have their own space. And we've seen this in a little more of a micro market in Isla Vista, where one-bedrooms were very, very popular. And then as the demand increased there, the prices increased some. And the logical fallout was that people started moving into two-bedroom units and doubling up because it was less expensive. So we may see the same thing happen in the general community here, where two-bedrooms will gain in popularity as one-bedrooms become just a bit too expensive.
I don't specialize in representing investors in buying apartments. Primarily, I do single-family, residential sales. But in some of the times I've dealt with it, some of the investors had shied away or weren't as excited about a one-bedrooms. If there was a unit that was like 6 or 10 just one-bedrooms, which is kind of not, it doesn't jive with what you were just saying, that one bedrooms are hot. They should have been happy. Maybe they didn't want that. What was that about? Or what from an investment standpoint?
I remember those periods, and I think it's just part of a cycle that we will see different things are more or less popular just depending upon what's going on in the local market and the economy.
And single-family homes out in the outskirts of Goleta from UCSB, some people own these homes. Turn around, rent it to 6 students, 2 per bedroom, load it up, $3,000 per month, $500 a bed, $600 a bed. Nothing wrong with that? Nothing illegal about that?
No, it's a perfectly legal thing to do. The owners need to appreciate that the expenses in fixing the property up when the residents leave may be higher, just because having, say, six students living in a unit can be more demanding on the unit than having, say, a husband and wife living there or a couple. But that's just part of the business, and the students certainly tend to pay a higher rent for the opportunity to live in those, so there's money that needs to be put back into the property to properly maintain it.
So overall, do we find, if we get back into the real estate market and how it might impact the rental market, if people start to jettison second homes or investment properties, maybe they picked up and then they want to get out of, maybe their existing rentals, and then they might be purchased by people who want to occupy them. Where do you see, you know, the market where we are now and where it might go?
You know, an interesting number I had heard a couple of months ago was that a third of the sales, or 30% of the sales in the Goleta Valley, were to investors for single-family homes as opposed to owner-occupants. But I think, again, and I'm a great believer in the marketplace, if all of those people who bought them decide to sell them at the same time, we'll certainly see an impact. But I would expect that prudence would suggest that if some of them saw that was happening, they would back off and time their sales at a different point that would be more advantageous.
That, I think those words right there are real key, because that's why the people who claim that this, if we're in a bubble or a souffle, that's going to deflate versus burst, it would have to be caused by everyone selling and wanting to get out at the same time. And we seem to, unless someone like the guy from Sacramento who puts 500 houses on the market in one time, there seem to be a lot of people in Santa Barbara who are tied to the community, have deep pockets, and they just won't sell.
There's a very interesting mentality, and you hear real estate compared to stocks in that same vein. Stocks go down, people are fairly willing to sell and get out, and real estate goes down and people just don't want to believe it's gone down and they'll hang on. And unless there's a serious pressure to divest themselves of that real estate, they're known to hang on to it for several years with the expectation the value come back up.
Interesting. Now, do you want to end up and wrap up with your position as chair of the loan committee for Business First? And you're on the vice chair of the board there, and you're in communication with the Fed as impact of potential increase in interest rates. What do you have to say about
that? Sure, I think that's something positive to share with anybody in the real estate market. You know, what we're seeing is notifications from the Fed encouraging banks and lenders to be very careful in their credit approvals and the loans that they're making. And the rationale is that as interest rates are increasing, the economy has not been following it, and they don't want to see problems where people are not able to afford the increased interest rates. It's particularly an issue where lenders have permitted low-down loans. Now, Business First, we're largely a business bank, so we're not in the residential market as much. But as people are making interest-only payments and with loans that are on adjustable rates, that becomes an issue. It's even more of an issue where people decide to get a credit line and apply it to their house so that they can buy another piece of investment property. And if there is an increase in the rates and a turn in the market, that can create pressures that they just don't want to, or that they're concerned that could create a bad economic impact. And I might tag that just a little bit in a semantics issue that we find, to remember that an increase in an interest rate from 5%, say, to 7%, which is what we've commonly seen just in the credit lines, is not a 2% increase. It's a 2 percentage point increase. It's actually a 40% increase in the rate, which means in the payment. So if you had a $100,000 loan and you were paying 5% and it increases to 7%, your monthly payment has gone up by $400 a month. If that happened to somebody who was renting a place, they would be very unhappy. I'm sure that same thing can happen to any private owners that particularly we don't have very many $100,000 loans in Santa Barbara.
Right, right. Ron Wolf, property manager. He's in the White Pages if you want to have him manage your property. Or if you have any tenants who have couches in their trees, Ron will come out and install a coffee table for you up there. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure.
Okay, we'll let Ron go. He's got a noon appointment. We'll take our final break, come back for the fourth segment with the weekly multiple listing update. Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate. Stay tuned. You'll be right back.